He was the president of the Confederacy, and in the spring of 1865, he and members of his cabinet were trying to stay a step ahead of the Union troops who hoped to capture them. The story is today's edition of The American Countryside.
Join Farm Journal agronomists this summer in Murfreesboro, Tennessee for the Farm Journal Yield Tour. Held on August 16th, the event will be led by industry expert Missy Bauer, along with speakers from Valent, Trimble, and Agrigold. Covered topics include assessing technology for maximum return and mastering variable rate and multi-hybrid planting. There will also be a live taping of U.S. Farm Report with Ty Morgan. This event is brought to you in partnership by Agrigold, Trimble, and Valent. Visit agweb.com/farmjournalyieldtour to find a stop near you.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
When Union troops defeated Lee at Petersburg, Virginia, early in April of 1865, Confederate President Jefferson Davis and his cabinet knew they had to flee southward if they were to escape capture in Richmond. But as their journey took them through North Carolina and into South Carolina, his cabinet slowly began to dissolve.
In Abbeville, South Carolina, where they had their last cabinet meeting, they started just quitting, turning in their notices and leaving.
John Hughes says Davis, his wife, and a few others continued their trek into Georgia, most likely hoping to turn west toward Texas to join with Confederate forces in the west and form a government in exile. As the Union pursued Davis, they looked for tips on his whereabouts. If it were not for help his party needed in crossing a river, Davis might have eluded his captors for much longer.
When he was in Abbeville, Georgia, crossing the river, he actually tipped the ferryman to open his ferry up. And that $10 gold piece that he tipped him was the one that got him caught, because he was the only one that remembered what he looked like. So when the Union cavalry came in, they knew exactly where he was heading.
On the morning of May 10th, 1865, Union troops closed in on Davis's small group just outside Irwinville, Georgia.
They actually said that they found Davis dressed up in a woman's dress. Again, that was just propaganda. Even in the Union official documents of the capture, they said that he was wearing a black shawl that his wife put around his shoulders when he walked out of the tent. He came extremely peaceful.
Davis was imprisoned at Fortress Monroe in Virginia for 2 years, awaiting trial for war crimes. Charges were never brought against him, and he was released, eventually to retire in Biloxi, Mississippi. While in prison, he was stripped of his U.S. citizenship and was reinstated in 1978 by President Jimmy Carter. We'll have the rest of the story of the capture of Jefferson Davis next time as we travel the countryside in Irwinville, Georgia. I'm Andrew McRae.